सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We chant the first five verses of chapter 3. अर्जुन उवाच अर्जुन उवाच जायसी चेत् कर्मणस्ते जायसी चेत् कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि गोरे माम् तत्किं कर्मणि गोरे माम् नियोजयसि केशव। अर्जुन उवाच जायसि चेत् कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि गोरे माम् नियोजयसि केशव। व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिन्मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रीयोहमाप्नुयाम् येन श्रीयोहमाप्नुयाम्। व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिन्मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य श्रेयोहमाप्नुयाम्। श्रीभगवानुवाच श्रीभगवानुवाच लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठः लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठः पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नग पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नग ज्ञानयोगेन साङ्ख्यानाम् ज्ञानयोगेन साङ्ख्यानाम् कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम् कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम्। श्रीभगवानुवाच लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठः पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नग ज्ञानयोगेन साङ्ख्यानाम् कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम्। न कर्मणामनारम्भाम् न कर्मणामनारम्भाम् नैष्कर्म्यम् पुरुषोऽश्नुते नैष्कर्म्यम् पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च संन्यसनाधेवः न च संन्यसनाधेवः सिद्धिम् समधिगच्छति सिद्धिम् समधिगच्छति। न कर्मणामनारम्भः नैष्कर्म्यम् पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च संन्यसनाधेवः सिद्धिम् समधिगच्छति। न हि कश्चित् क्षणमपि न हि कश्चित् क्षणमपि झातुतिष्ठत्य कर्मकृत् झातुतिष्ठत्य कर्मकृत् कार्यते ह्यवशत्कर्म कार्यते ह्यवशत्कर्म सर्वप्रकृतिजैर्गुणैः सर्वप्रकृतिजैर्गुणैः। न हि कश्चित् क्षणमपि झातुतिष्ठत्य कर्मकृत् कार्यते ह्यवशत्कर्म सर्वप्रकृतिजैर्गुणैः। The entire Bhagavad Gita can be summarized in one word. In fact, there's a story behind this, which is given by Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. A Swami used to lecture in many cities on various chapters of the Gita. So, in a particular city, a lady used to be a great devotee of this Swami, and she used to attend his lectures regularly, as and when he used to visit the city and lecture on the Gita. His son was a big businessman. He was very devoted to his mother. He also wanted to study the Gita according to him, his own admittance, but he had no time to do. So every day evening when the mother attends the lectures and goes back, he picks her up, takes her back home. He never had time to go and attend the lectures, though he wanted to do it that particular year. So the last day, he thought he'll go a little early and try and attend before he could pick up his mother. But then the lecture was by that time it was over. So he asked, where is the Swami? She said, Swami has gone to the railway station to board the train to go to the next city for his pravachan. So he rushes to the station to meet the Swami and take his blessings. And when he goes there, the Swami is seated next to the window in a particular compartment. He goes and introduces himself and then says, "I need your blessings." He says, "My blessing is always there." As he's talking, the train starts moving. So he says, "Swami, I wanted to know what is the gist of Gita." Swami didn't want to disappoint him. Even at that last moment, even though the train has started moving, he said, "Just keep repeating Gita, you will get the message of Gita." So he sincerely took that advice and he started repeating it. And you repeat Gita, 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 it comes Tyagi, 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 Tyagi. Right? So when you repeat Gita, 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 what you get is Tyagi, Tyagi, Tyagi. So the message in the entire Bhagavad Gita is Tyag. Tyag means what? Renunciation. Renunciation of what? Renunciation of the ego. The egoistic desire and the egoistic attitude. So when you do an action renouncing the egoistic desire and egoistic attitude, it becomes karma yoga. When you do an action with much of ego, it is just karma which binds you. But when you do an action with the right attitude and with awareness, it is karma yoga. So this third chapter is entitled as Karma Yoga, Science of Action, Yoga of Action. The entire chapter deals with action in detail. I don't know if there is any other scripture in the world which deals with action in such detail. So this chapter is there in the Gita, which is talking about action. What is the necessity to act? Why should you act? What is action? Why should you act? How should you act? What is the technique of right action? And while you perform action, what are the impediments that you will come across? The obstacles, the path of action, and how to overcome those obstacles. A thorough analysis of action is what this chapter is all about. And yet a lot of us don't want to get into Gita while we are young, because we think Gita will take us away from action. We believe, or we wrongly believe, that Gita is a post-retirement course. It is after having lived your life, then you, when you are retired, when you don't know what else to do, so you give some time for Gita. It is not a post-retirement course. It is a course that has to be learnt and lived. So while you are young, you need to learn the art of action. Right? Action is the insignia of life, and action is death. And that's what Sri Krishna says in the Gita as well. So, entire chapter, out of 18 chapters, one full chapter is on action. Why you should act, how you should act, what are the impediments, how to overcome them, etc., etc. If people misunderstand and try to read Gita only after retirement.
So,
So Karma Yoga, this chapter is a very important chapter, especially after Arjuna surrendered in the second chapter. Lord Krishna straight away gave him the highest knowledge of Atma, Atma Vidya. Atma is imperishable. Atma is never born. Atma never dies. What perishes is only our physical body. Remember the three C's. To understand that, I put it in a simple way. Container, content, and the consciousness. Container perishes. Content moves from one container to another container in the medium of consciousness. Consciousness is neither born nor dies. It is beyond beginning and end. And you are that consciousness. That is the central theme of the Bhagavad Gita. If you remember, we said Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the gist of the Upanishads. The summary, or rather detailed summary of the Upanishads. Upanishads declare Tat Tvam Asi, that reality, the what, that consciousness, the what, Prajnanam Brahma. You are that consciousness. And that is the central theme in the Bhagavad Gita also. But the student over here, Arjuna, is a man of action. So the highest philosophy, though it was given, he is not able to directly relate to it. So he went on to ask another question to Krishna to elaborate on Sthita Prajna. So then in the last portion of the second chapter, Lord Krishna gave about 18 verses detailing the man of perfection. Now in this chapter, Arjuna poses a question and then Lord Krishna talks elaborately on Karma Yoga. If you remember, in the second chapter also, he touched a little bit upon Karma Yoga. In fact, the most famous verse, 47th verse of chapter 2. Karma Neva Vikaraste Mahafaleshu Kadachana Na Karma Fala Hetur Boho Mate Sangosto Karmani. In that portion, he did give a little bit of Karma Yoga. But Arjuna, since he intervened and asked Lord Krishna to explain in detail about Sthita Prajna, after that now he gives thorough analysis on Karma Yoga. Now this chapter, Karma Yoga, has 43 verses. Swamiji has split this 43 verses into 6 topics, which is there in your book if you see in the beginning. First topic is verses 1 to 3, introducing the path of action. From verses 4 to 19, an intellectual appeal for action. Then verses 20 to 24, emotional appeals for action. 25 to 35, the technique of right action. Impediments to right action from 36 to 39. Then way to overcome the impediments from 40 to 43. This is the thought flow in this chapter. It is very important to get the thought flow. It is not enough if you just get the verses. You need to get the thought flow, the message, understand it, put it into practice, experiment it, then make it your own. So these 43 verses talk in detail about converting action into Karma Yoga. Merely action will bind you. The chronology of action is, from Vasana comes thought. From Vasana comes thought. And from thought comes desire. From desire comes action. From Vasanas comes thought. From thought comes desires. From desire comes action. This is the chronology of action. So the chronology of action says, every human being has what is called as Vasanas. Vasanas comes from the root Vas, which means fragrance. Each and every individual has a typical fragrance, meaning temperament, inherent nature. So the painting Vasanas in a painter gives rise to the thought of painting, and the thought of painting further manifests as desire for painting, and the desire for painting further manifests as act of painting. So the Vasana, thought, desire, action is the chronology of action. So this is not complete. If your action is propelled by Vasanas, by desire, then that action will further produce Vasanas. Are you with me? So the chronology of action is, from Vasana comes action, from action comes Vasanas. Now all of us have Vasanas. All of us are nothing but a bundle of Vasanas. And as long as we have Vasanas, We sit down doing nothing. If you don't act, what will happen to those vasanas? It will not evaporate. You cannot in fact sit down quietly when the vasanas are there. They will push you to act. But when you are propelled by your vasanas and you act, your actions further produces more vasanas. So you need to act in such a way that you remove the vasanas, not build upon your vasanas. Are you with me? So Vedanta says you cannot but act. But you should know the technique of action in such a way that you don't build vasanas, you rather remove vasanas. Remember that. Human being minus vasanas equals God. God plus vasanas equals human being. We've discussed this before. If you remember, God plus desires equals human being. Human being minus desires equals God. When we say minus desires, what we mean is rising above desires. So the human being, when he finally ultimately rises above his desires, then he becomes man of perfection. Now, you have desires, and when you act on your desires propelled by them, you are going to multiply your desires. You are going to go far away from the divinity within. So you have no choice, it seems, but to act propelled by your desires. But this entire portion, Karma Yoga, is going to talk about how to act in such a way that you will be evaporating your existing vasanas and not multiplying your vasanas. So karma binds you, karma yoga liberates you. Karma binds you, karma yoga liberates you. Even though you have got the highest knowledge in the second chapter that you are Atma, just merely knowing about your original nature intellectually, your desires don't go. Otherwise, by this time, we spent quite a lot of time in studying the second chapter, right? Also, the chapter is big. 72 verses are there. We spent quite a lot of time. We did somebody twice, thrice also. We did a retreat on it also. In spite of all that, what has happened to you? Nothing, right? Your desires still are there. Your cravings are still there. You are still excited about your joys. You are still agitated about your sorrows. You still go through greed, jealousy, anger, all this fear, everything, right? So even though you have been intellectually informed about your original nature, and you have also sufficiently spent some time in understanding it, still the inner change has not happened. So when there is too much desire, simply reading and understanding alone is not going to help you. An extroverted mind needs to plunge into action in the spirit of Karma Yoga. Then the bulk of the desires will drop. Then you can do or become more eligible for further contemplation and meditation. And through that you reach realization. So even though Lord Krishna gave the highest knowledge in the second chapter, therefore it gets into the Karma Yoga portion immediately, so that we can plunge into action, converting our existing vasanas for a higher purpose. We plunge it into plunge in this world. So that is Karma Yoga. So the very first verse is started by Arjuna here. Arjuna has been listening to Lord Krishna. Now he asks a question. Remember, the entire Gita is nothing but a conversation between Guru and Sishya. And today happens to be Guru Purnima.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a very, very... Guru Purnima is the birthday of Sage Vyasa. Right? Vyasa Purnima. Sage Vyasa is the one who gave us this Gita. Even though it was given by Lord Krishna, it was Sage Vyasa who composed it. Right? Yeah. So we should be grateful to him And very significant that we are starting this class after a break on the Guru Purnima. Right?
One of the things for taking a samadhi is one of the things. That's what the paper says.
Okay.
That's how I know it's
okay. So, it's very interesting. Guru means what?
Teacher.
Guru literally means dispeller of ignorance.
Guru.
Guru means dispeller of ignorance. What dispels ignorance? Okay, let us put it like this. What dispels darkness?
Light.
Fighting with darkness, you are not going to make it any better. But if you bring in light, darkness is immediately conquered. So Guru means one who is knowledge himself. What dispels ignorance is knowledge, awareness, right? When we say knowledge, we don't mean information. We mean awareness of the truth. So Guru is one who has established himself in reality. He has exhausted all his vasanas and has become God himself. Only to the extent one has exhausted the vasanas, to that extent one can communicate. So Guru is an essential aspect in Shishya's life for evolution. And it is very interesting to note that the Gita says, Shishya cannot find the Guru, Guru will have to find the Shishya. Being at the level of ignorance, how can you find light? You can't understand even if you meet somebody who is at that stage. Because first of all, you have your own ideas or wrong ideas about Gurus. You have a list in your pocket and you search for the Guru who will fit according to those list of do's and don'ts. So you have some do's and don'ts, right? Guru should do these things. Guru should not be doing these things. Now, from your limited perspective, you have a certain conditioning about a Guru. And you go out, you look for the Guru who will fit into this number of do's and don'ts. But a real Guru may be above all these do's and don'ts. In fact, he is above all these do's and don'ts. So if you see him doing certain things which in the list is don't, you say, okay, he'll be Guru. If he is not doing something which is there in the list as do's, then also you will say, how can he be Guru? You cannot find a Guru. But when you become a Shishya, then the Guru will find you. So instead of wasting our time in trying to find Gurus, we should ask ourselves on this Guru Purnima day, have I become a Shishya? Am I a Shishya? If there is a demand, there will be supply. If there is no demand, there won't be any supply. So instead of wasting our energies and potentials in trying to find a Guru, you become a Shishya first. The moment you create the demand, you'll be surprised to see that the supply is coming your way. So in the second chapter, 7th verse, when Arjuna surrendered, what did he say? Kartanya dosho pahata swabhavaha prichyamitvam dharma sammuda chetaha yashreyasya nishchitam bruhitan me shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. You remember that verse? See, when you keep chanting these verses, some of the verses automatically get by heart. Memorized.
This wasn't familiar because I listened to your chatting on my phone. My karma means I don't know meaning. Like, what are they? The matter I think looks like, if I know the name of the first word, then something of that word comes. You only listen to the
कार्पण्य दोषोपहत स्वभाव मीन्स वॉट ही सेज माय नेचर इज ओवरकम बाय द टेंट ऑफ पिटी बाय हेल्पलेसनेस पृच्छामि त्वां धर्मसं मूढचेताः आई एम कंफ्यूज एज टू व्हाट इज राइट व्हाट इज रॉन्ग व्हाट आई शुड डू नाउ व्हाट आई शुड नॉट डू व्हाट इज माय ड्यूटी आई एम कंफ्यूज यश्रेयस्या निश्चितं ब्रूहितं मे शिष्यस्तेहं शालिमां त्वां प्रपन्नम् यस् श्रेय टेल मी वॉट इज गुड फॉर मी आई एम दाय डिसाइपल आई सरेंडर टू यू दैट्स ऑल दिस द जिस्ट ऑफ दिस वर्सेस शिष्यस्तेहं शालिमां त्वां प्रपन्नम् व्हेन अर्जुन सरेंडर्ड एंड बिकेम अ शिष्य ओनली देन लॉर्ड कृष्ण बिकेम अ गुरु When Draupadi was holding on to her sari when she was being disrobed with one hand and with one hand she was calling for Krishna, it did not come. When she threw both her arms and said, Oh Krishna, please come, then it came. So, when that complete surrender happens in you, you will find the Guru coming your way. So it is important for us, because many of us, what we do is we try to analyze and we are always, you know, the mind is extroverted. We try to, even when we study the Gita, and especially in the last portions of the Gita, where it talks about sattvic intellect, tamasic intellect, rajasic intellect, sattvic happiness, rajasic happiness, tamasic happiness, sattvic renunciation, tamasic renunciation, rajasic renunciation. Immediately we tend to see, oh, I'm studying about tamasic happiness, tamasic renunciation, and I think this person sitting next to me is having all these qualities. I'm looking at my wife, I'm looking at my husband, I'm looking at my friends, I'm looking at these people as to what they are. Tamasik, rajasika, sattvic. Instead of finding out whether I am sattvic, where am I, how much of tamas I have, how much of rajas I have, how I can move from tamas to rajas to sattva. Like I told you, if you understand spirituality correctly, a true Vedantin is a scavenger. Scavenger, Shudra. Shudra, in fact, is not a derogatory term. According to me, Shudra is a very, very elevating term. What does Shudra do? Keep on cleansing the society. Menial job, cleaning and all that, right? So, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to find what is wrong within and keep on correcting, not finding fault with others. There may be fault outside. When somebody hurts you, he may hurt with a negative intention of hurting you. But if you are an evolved soul, you are not going to find out whether he has negative intention or not. You will say, I must have done something to deserve this blow. Are you with me? And what is that? I will try to correct myself. This is the sign of evolution. The moment your mind goes outwardly, it's a sign that you have still not evolved. How do you know if you've been studying Gita? How do I find out if I'm evolving or not? These are the ways in which you can find out. So, you must not waste your time in trying to find a guru. You must become a Shishya. When you become a Shishya, Guru will find you. So it is very important to become qualified to receive the Gita. It is important to become receptive. Even Jesus Christ said, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. Empty thyself, I shall fill thee. So in the presence of the Guru, his communion, you get the knowledge, awareness. So you need to become a receptacle in the hands of the Guru to work magic in you. So thus when Arjuna surrendered, then Krishna gave the knowledge. And this entire Gita is nothing but a Guru-Sishya conversation. And sometimes we find the Gita chapter even beginning by beginning without any question from Arjuna. That is because Guru Lord Krishna understands from the body language of Arjuna that he needs more explanation. And you also see, like for example in this chapter, Arjuna asking a question, and thus the chapter begins. Verse number 1 and 2 we'll do together.
Arjuna uvacha jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani gore maham yojayasi keshava. Arjuna uvacha jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani gore maham niyojayasi keshava. Vyamishreneva vakyenah buddhim mohayasiva me tadekam vada nischityah yena shreyoham apnuyam vyamishreneva vakyenah buddhim mohayasiva me tadekam vada nischityah yena shreyoham apnuyam.
Arjuna vacha, Arjuna said, Arjuna asked Lord Krishna, O Janardana. O Janardana means Lord Krishna, protector of people. If you consider knowledge superior to action, jayasi chet karma naste mata buddhir janardana. If you consider knowledge to be superior to action, why then do you, O Keshava, engage me in terrible action? Lord Krishna was praising knowledge in the second chapter. Right? When Lord Krishna was praising knowledge in the second chapter, a question comes to Arjuna. What did I tell you in the first chapter? I also argued that better it is to leave this battlefield instead of killing, instead of performing this action, better to leave this battlefield and go to the forest, meditate, gain knowledge, spend time in contemplation of the scriptures. You also seem to be saying the same thing, because your saying also seems to be that better it is to gain the knowledge. Are you with me? Then why are you forcing me to engage in this gora karma, terrible action? What does terrible action mean in this context? Killing. So that means clearly Arjuna is making his mind known to us, to Guru, that he still considers certain action as good and certain action as bad. If you remember, we have had an elaborate discussion on this. Even though Lord Krishna said contrary to what Arjuna's belief is, with logic and reason, he still has this doubt. So his question is, O Janardana, O protector of people, and Keshava, killer of demon Keshi, you only kill bad people and protect good people. I have to do this action of killing people who not necessarily everybody are bad. You understand? Bhishma is not a bad person. Drona is not a bad person. I don't have to plunge into this terrible action, especially if you also consider knowledge is superior. Why are you forcing me there? Then he says, with an apparently perplexing speech you confuse as it were my understanding. Vyamishreneva vakyena buddhim mohaya sivame tadekam vada nishchitya. Tell me with certainty that one way by which I may attain the highest. Yena shriyosam apuna. Don't confuse me. Don't tell me knowledge is superior and then tell me to do action also. I am confused. See, Arjuna is a man of action. He needs instructions. He says, tell me what is that one way which will take me to realization. The highest, meaning knowing one's own nature. Shreya, what is good for oneself. Not preya, that which comes and goes. Preya means those pleasures that come and go. Shreya means that which comes to stay. In fact, it doesn't come, that which is always the bliss. So, he is saying, with an apparently perplexing speech, you are confusing my understanding as it were. What do you understand from this sentence? He is not directly accusing Lord Krishna that you are confusing me. Yet he is saying something to that effect. Your word seems to confuse me. It is because of my lack of understanding. I am not that subtle enough. So please put it bluntly to me, directly to me, what I am supposed to do. Right? This confusion is there, no? What am I supposed to do? Our mind is pulling us towards the temptations of this world. Right? There is another aspect in us telling, no, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this. What happens finally? You end up giving into your mind. You decide to sit and study. Then a phone call comes. You answer the phone call. Then you start talking about something. And that leads to something else, that leads to something else. Then finally you don't have time to sit down and study that day. Doesn't that sort of a thing happen to you? So one aspect of your mind is craving for the world. And there is a little bird in you telling that I must go towards the highest. Not waste time in all these things. And yet you slowly are dragged and you do what your mind demands. This is happening to everybody, right? So Arjuna is saying, I am confused. I don't know. You are saying I should be in the world also. At the same time you are saying knowledge is superior. Isn't it better for me to go and join an ashram and study the 3 years course? What am I supposed to do? Tell me with certainty. See, what we need to understand here is, Arjuna is also a close friend of Lord Krishna. But he having surrendered, to Krishna, he almost demands a clear answer from the Guru. Meaning what? He says, I am confused. He openly admits it. Your word seems to confuse me. Therefore, tell me with certainty, what am I supposed to do? If knowledge is superior, no problem. Come with me. Let us walk away right now. I am with you. So, you are blowing hot and cold. You are saying, knowledge is superior, but you are telling me to do the action. It is like saying, better to do business, but you continue this job. Something like that. Unless I quit this job, how can I do business? So why not I quit? You also seem to be agreeing with me. I'm confused. This is Arjuna's question. Vyamishreneva Vakyena. As though you are confusing me. I know a guru will not say something to confuse me. It is because of my poor level I am confused. This is very important to understand. We think guru lacks clarity. Guru doesn't lack clarity. We are at a confused level. In fact, anything that is said by the guru, we will misunderstand. This is the biggest difficulty, greatest difficulty the gurus have. Therefore, some gurus did not speak, they remained in silence. That was also misunderstood. Some gurus spoke, that is also misunderstood. This is a big problem. Whether the guru speaks, you will misunderstand. Whether the guru doesn't speak, then also you will misunderstand. Your misunderstanding is because of your level. Not that guru is trying to misunderstand you. This Arjuna clearly says here. Vyamishreneva vakyena buddhi mohaya sevame. Buddhi means intellect. Moha means confusion, delusion. You are confusing my intellect as it were. So please tell me with certainty what is good for me. So eva, the word eva here signifies Arjuna's humility. See, you can question the guru, you should question the guru. But you should question the guru with humility. Are you with me? How do you say? You don't seem to know anything, simply you are talking. If you talk in this language, that's not the appropriate way of questioning the guru. Either there are people who don't question, or there are people who question the guru in an inappropriate way. But if you are a true Sishya, you would question the guru, but with humility. And remember this, a person who doesn't question also don't evolve. A person who questions with arrogance also doesn't evolve. You need to question with humility. So this is what is demonstrated here. Now Lord Krishna's answer.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Lokesh Mindivida Nishta, Lokesh Mindivida Nishta, Pura Prokta Mayanaga, Pura Prokta Mayanaga, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam, Karma Yogena Yoginam, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Lokesh Mindivida Nishta, Pura Prokta Mayanaga, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Blessed Lord replied, said to Arjuna, Asmin Loke, in this world, there is a twofold path, Dvida Nishta. Nishta is singular. Nishta means path. Dvida means dual, twofold. So he says, there is a twofold path. He doesn't say there are two paths, there is a twofold path. Remember this. In this world, there is a twofold path. As I said before, O Anaga. Anaga means sinless fellow. The path of knowledge for the Sankhyas, contemplative, and the path of action for the yogis, active. So he is saying, Arjuna's question is, you are praising knowledge, then why are you pushing me into action? Why not I directly go into action? For which the Lord answers, he says, in this world there is a twofold path. In other words, a path is only one. Path is only one. But the path is twofold. The twofold path is because there are two types of people. What are the two types of people? One is contemplative or introverted. The other one is active or extroverted. Extroverted means what? Bulk of desires are there. Introverted means bulk of desires are dropped. So he says,
the way to get to the self is only one. But if you are an extroverted person, then you need to do karma yoga. If you are an introverted person, then you are qualified for jnana yoga. What is he saying here? I have said this long time ago. He says, Pura Prokta Mayanaga. I have said this before itself. Said this before means what? Where did he say? Veda Dwara. Veda Dwara means through Vedas I have said this. Remember, when Lord Krishna speaks and he says, I am saying, he is saying from the self point of view. He is speaking as the self, not as Mr. Krishna. The self spoke in the Vedas and said, there is a twofold path. The same self is speaking in the body of Krishna and saying the same thing. The twofold path. Path is only one. It is twofold depending upon the follower. If the follower is extroverted, then he need to do action. If the follower is introverted, then he will be going through knowledge. Now what he is trying to say here is, like I said before, we all are nothing but a bundle of desires. If there is too much preoccupation, can you sit and even listen to the lecture 1 hour, 15 minutes totally? Supposing there is some function going on at home, and for everything they will be calling you, and you also have to give them instructions, do this, do that and all that. But you thought in this 1 hour, 15 minutes I'll come and attend the class also in between. Will you be there fully available here? That's why when we conduct retreat, we say, leave your mobile phones in your room and come to the class. Don't even get into any of these things. Why? Retreat is a time we give ourselves to fully be available to gain knowledge. A little preoccupation is enough to disturb you. Something is there. Right? As you are listening to me, supposing you get the thought again and again, as if you forgot to switch off the gas stuff, cylinder. Again and again you are getting disturbance. What is better to do is get up, go, switch it off and come. Isn't it? So when a person is fully preoccupied with desires, he is not available for higher contemplation and meditation. Children have so much of energy, right? But fellow needs to direct his energy. Then slowly he will be able to sit in one place. If you force the child to sit in one place or another, it will pandemonium in there. So there is so much of desires in an active person. You can't tell a person to sit quiet and meditate, contemplate, gain knowledge. Impossible. Isn't it? Your mind will be going here and there. Once a week, 1 hour, 15 minutes, are we able to fully sit down in the class? How can we take up the path of knowledge totally? We are not that contemplative type. Supposing, day in and day out, you are only listening to the lectures and meditating and all that. Will you be able to do like that continuously for even 3 days? You need your own entertainments, right? You need your get-togethers, you need your other things. Not that you are not spiritual, not that you don't have inclination towards the higher, but your mind is not totally free. That is why they have separated the life into four stages: Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grahastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama and Sannyasa Ashrama. If you take the lifespan to be 100, the first 25 years is Brahmacharya Ashrama, then Grahastha Ashrama. Brahmacharya Ashrama is what? The stage of strengthening. You try to strengthen the roots during Brahmacharya Ashrama, 25 years, you gain the knowledge. Then you experiment the knowledge in your life, that is Grahastha Ashrama. So Grahastha Ashrama is what? Karma Yoga Ashrama. Grahastha Ashrama is Karma Pradhana Ashrama. Karma Pradhana Ashrama means what? Mostly Karma Yoga. Little bit Vedanta classes, okay, allowed. But fully Vedanta class you can't do. Are you with me? When you are studying the scriptures with the Guru, your mind should not be going here and there. Therefore, certain disciplines are mentioned in Brahmacharya Ashrama. Are you with me? So that you fully receive the knowledge. Having received the knowledge, you need to convert that into experience, for which you need to plunge into life in Grahastha Ashrama. When you plunge into life in Grahastha Ashrama, the Grahastha Ashrama is nothing but a laboratory. Karma Yoga Pradhana Ashrama. So you go on acting with awareness, then over a period of time, slowly your mind is moving towards Brahman, Atman totally. So first 25 years Brahmacharya Ashrama, next 25 years Grahastha Ashrama. If you live totally like this, then the next 25 years you will be able to live Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means what? You have not yet moved out of the house, but your mind is going all the time towards Brahman. Then when you are 75, you even give up your house and totally sit down, meditate, contemplate upon Brahman in Sannyasa Ashrama. It is not enough if your physical body comes here. Your mind should also be available here, na? Only your body comes here, but your mind is not available here. What is the use? Is there any use? So both the body and the mind should be here. So in the case of Arjuna, a man of action, and in our case also, we cannot be totally contemplative now because we have desires. When King Janaka used to go to his Sishya, to his Guru, Ashtavakra, it seems Ashtavakraji used to wait for him sometimes. So the other Shishyas thought, oh, Guru also waits for the king. So Guru came to know about this, so he wanted to, you know, keep a small test to communicate why he is doing so to his other Shishyas. So with his Siddhi, he created a false fire in the city. All these guys who are even living in a rented apartment, not even their own house, were running from the class to their house to see how they can get out their important certificates and things like that. But King Janaka, who is the king, sat down simply listening to Ashtavakra. Then after some time, because it was a fake fire, everybody came back to the Guru, and if they found there was only Janaka sitting and listening, because Janaka has moved up in the spiritual ladder, is a highly contemplative person. Through Karma Yoga, he has exhausted the bulk of his desires. He is contemplative. Now, you cannot short circuit this. There is no shortcut. Overnight you think you can give up everything. You can't. In fact, a lot of people out of some depression or something will give up, and later on they repent, why did I do that? You need to evolve there. Believe me, the mind has to understand that there is nothing in this world. Simply you read in the book, there is no pitta substance in this world, nothing happens to you. You must understand that there is no pitta substance in the world. Like a beautiful sentence made by Swami Ramtirtha. He says, iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. What do you understand from that statement? Iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. What does it mean? Iron and gold will help you to get more and more iron and gold. Good for buying iron and gold, not to buy the permanent bliss. Iron and gold has a practical purpose in this world. You have hunger. You give your iron, get some money for it, which can buy you some bread for you. That's all. It's good for buying iron and gold. But the true happiness can be that simply because you've heard this from Swami Ramtirtha, nothing happens to you. Your mind is still preoccupied with iron and gold. You need to come to that stage where you can also declare iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. Simply philosophizing is dangerous. Please understand this. By not thoroughly experimenting with the world and understanding it fully, the possibility of you getting back to it out of frustration is much more. So therefore Vedanta doesn't say give up the world. It is the wrong understanding of the Vedanta that makes people give up the world. Vedanta says you rise above this. You don't give up. You rise above. When you look at an object, when you look at the object totally, then your thoughts get arrested. But when you look at the object in parts, then your thoughts move. Have you noticed this? You look at an object, you look at a beautiful idol or a doll, you look at the head, then your thoughts move to the torso. You look at the torso, the thoughts move to the head. You stare at the object totally, from head to toe, just totally. Then you are not moving in thoughts. So you need to be totally in the world to be totally out of it. Are you with me? I'll explain to you. When you go through the worldly experiences, be there fully. Don't go and philosophize, there is nothing in this world. Isme kya hai? See, when you are physically contacting the object, are you there totally in the contact? Does that happen usually? You are 100% in the contact? Not. Right? Your mind has moved into the fruit that you get from the contact. Isn't it? As you are eating the first gulab jamun, your mind is scheming and planning as to get how to take, how many I can take away for whom. In other words, the mind is not in the present totally. Do you see? So therefore we say, experience your world fully. So what is karma yoga? Karma yoga is doing an action with full awareness. Unconsciously, when you do an action, you increase vasanas. Consciously, you do an action, you decrease vasanas. I can talk to you and unconsciously go on playing with my mala, right? Then I will make knots. So many knots are made. If I want to remove these knots, can I keep talking to you and remove it as I am talking to you? I cannot focus on this and then become conscious, then I can remove the knots. So how have we created knots in our life? By unconscious actions. So simply we philosophize, go on listening from childhood. Even when you are watching serial in the TV, there is so much of philosophy going on. Duniya mein kuch nahi hai, this is not that, that is not. Go on convincing ourselves that there is nothing. You have been told that there is nothing, but do you know that there is nothing? There is a difference between being told and knowing. Are you with me? You are told iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold, but you do not know that. You read many books, you attended many lectures. You heard your grandfather say that, your parents say that, and you are also repeating it. You do not know that there is nothing in this world. So the more, since you are only repeating what you have heard and you do not know, your mind will not be able to become free from the world. So temporarily it may pull itself to go towards knowledge, but after some time again it will get back. In fact, it has never risen. It has been putting on an act. So therefore they say, you, even though ultimately you need to gain that awareness, first live your life totally. Read me. That is why he says, Lokesmin Dvidha Nishta Pura Prokta Maya Naga Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. You have to first become a yogi, then you can become a Jnani, Sankhya. You have to be a yogi means what? What is yoga? Yoga comes from the root yuj, which means to unite. So you have to be a yogi means when you are acting, you should be totally in the action, then you are a yogi. So don't come to the conclusion whether it is good, bad, or there is something in it or there is nothing in it. Nothing. Don't be opinionated. Don't have any prejudice when you contact. Are you with me? Learn to contact without any prejudice. Unbiased contact is karma yoga. Conscious unbiased contact is karma yoga. Unconscious biased contact is karma. Are you with me? Unconscious biased contact is karma. Unconscious biased contact is karma.
Unconscious biased contact
is karma. conscious unbiased contact is karma yoga. What Arjuna was trying to run away from was karma. Krishna says running away from karma is not going to help you. He has bias that killing is bad. Are you with me? He has some bias about certain actions. Only certain actions one can do. Certain actions one cannot do.
We all have got that bias.
So I am saying everybody has that. Arjuna is only our representative. So Swami Chidananda says the first chapter is Arjuna disease and second chapter is Krishna cure, and he says we all suffer from the same Arjuna disease, so we all need Krishna cure, he says. In other words, this bias is there. We haven't found anything. Everything is borrowed. As long as things are borrowed, we will not have strength. If you are living on borrowed money, you don't have strength. Everything is borrowed. Borrowed knowledge from scriptures, from books, from your elders, from society. Have you thought about it? Have you understood it? Have you gone through the experiences so that you know what the contact of the world offers? Simply repeat. What is the use? So therefore, in the Brahmacharya Ashrama, knowledge was given. In the Grihastha Ashrama, they say, conscious, unbiased contact. Really? Then slowly, your mind will become free from the preoccupations. So remember, Vedanta is never against occupation. Vedanta is only against preoccupations. Don't allow the objects to occupy your mind. Their physical presence is not the problem. But the mental occupancy is the problem. So therefore he says, for yogis, karma yoga. When you go on living like this, what happens is, your mind slowly becomes free from the world. I have seen it here. There is nothing in this. See, the raw fruit has to become ripened fruit. Read me. When it becomes a ripened fruit, it falls. So we came. In other words, what Krishna is saying is, knowledge is not for people who are raw. They have to ripen through action. You say, I will get that, I will get happiness from that, I will conquer this. And as you keep on getting, you see, is it there? No. Once your mind becomes free from it, then you are totally available for knowledge. So Krishna says, you are now in that extroverted category, Arjuna. You cannot shun action. No doubt, knowledge is superior to action. But you have to qualify yourself to gain that knowledge also through action. So through karma yoga, you become qualified for jnana yoga. What are you gaining when you are in Brahmacharya Ashrama? Jnanam. But it's jnana yoga. But for the jnana yoga to become jnana siddhi, you have to intermittent state go through karma yoga. So knowledge you gain, no doubt, in Brahmacharya Ashrama. So this karma yoga is incomplete without jnana yoga. And Jnana Yoga is impossible without Karma Yoga. And let us put it this way. Karma Yoga is incomplete without Jnana Yoga. And Jnana Siddhi is impossible without Karma Yoga. Through Karma Yoga, through dedicated actions, conscious, unbiased action, you become pure. Then the knowledge will convert itself into wisdom. Till then it will not. So, there is an intermittent stage between knowledge and wisdom. You've heard nothing happens overnight. In fact, you get more frustrated. I'm studying Gita and I'm getting agitated. I'm getting angry. I have this thought of revenge. You know that, right? Others may not know. But you have such thoughts. Then you say, my God, on one hand I'm studying Gita, on the other hand I have such thoughts. Then you need to understand. What do you have to understand? There's an intermittent stage. What are you supposed to do there? Karma Yoga. Convert your actions into conscious, unbiased actions. Karma has to be converted into Karma Yoga. Then slowly, slowly, knowledge will turn into wisdom, not otherwise. So the most important thing that is required in spiritual field is honesty. All that you need to do is, yes, I have information, but I haven't got Jnana Siddhi. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to get into the world, not judge the world, without prejudice. I contact it, slowly I rise above the world. So remember, always a lot of people think, oh, you all evolved, you are not evolved, nothing like that. Even those people who have evolved, they have gone through this. There is somebody who are in the 5th grade. There is somebody who are already in the 12th grade. But the 12th grade people went through the 5th grade and then only went to 12th grade. Isn't it? Directly nobody can go to 12th grade. But the entire thing is one path. There is no such thing as somebody is more evolved than you. Somebody is superior to you. They went through the same process and refined themselves. So if you also go through the same process, then you will also refine yourself. So remember this verse, Asmin Loke. Loke Asmin means in this world. There is a twofold path. Loke Asmin Dvidha Nishta. Pura Prota Mayanaga. O Anaga, O Arjuna, O sinless fellow. I have already said this before through Vedas. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. For contemplative people, Jnana Yoga. Karma Yogena Yoginam. For active people, Karma Yoga. So what do we have to do? That's why we say, as early as possible, try to wake up and spend some time in gaining the knowledge. But rest of the day, you spend in Karma Yoga. Are you with me? Then slowly, slowly, the knowledge will convert itself into wisdom. Thereafter, your mind is not going towards action that much. Then what will happen is, you will be able to be in contemplation and meditation more often. The percentage changes. In the beginning it is less of jnanam and more of karma. Then slowly, slowly what will happen is, it will become more of jnanam and less of karma. So extroverted, introverted. Action, contemplation. So there is nothing superior, nothing inferior. No need to think that this is inferior, that is superior. So I should go only after knowledge. I have always given this example. You empty a 2 kilogram sugar from a container into another container which can take 2 kilograms. But when you empty, even though you emptied only one and a half, the container seems full. So what do? You take it and tap it 5 times, 6 times. Then the sugar settles. Then it allows more to go in. This tapping is Karma Yoga. You understand? You got to tap yourself in this world, with this world. Then knowledge will settle. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.